A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another program from the show Open Talk. I'm Mahdi Rassani, along with my brother Abbas Munfarid, will be your host in today's program, inshallah. This program is being broadcast live from the holy city of Qom, the Islamic Republic of Iran. As always, we're going to discuss a very important topic, a topic that Muslims nowadays deal with on a daily basis. And we're going to try to figure out what Islam's opinion is on this issue and what things we need to take into consideration from the Islamic point of view when dealing with this issue. We're going to go to my brother. He's going to let you know more about today's topic.
In the name of Allah, the Lord of all creations, brothers and sisters from inside Iran and overseas, welcome again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm Abbas Munfarid. It's a great honor to host you in this program. Thank you for choosing this program and watching our program on Sahar Universal Network. We are really delighted to provide you with nice TV shows. And of course, your comments and opinions are welcome to have better programs in the future. What about today's program? When we go on the internet, we have all the world in our computers. From one side, the content of the internet comprises both evil and good, and from the other side, the morality of the internet is really important for Muslim community. We should try to invite Muslims to make the truth prevail when encountered with evil and destructive websites. Of course, this takes an enormous effort, but just by trying and improving the quality of Islamic contents on the internet, we can propagate Islam and show the real picture of Islam. Because of the importance of this topic, our distinguished guest will join us after a short break to talk about it more. Stay with us.
Welcome back, dear viewers. You're watching Open Talk. As my brother mentioned, we're going to talk about cyberspace and internet and some of the damages that we come across while dealing with the internet. And, you know, our Muslim youth nowadays and, you know, Muslims in general, while using the internet, although they might be using it for their own benefits, but there are many damages that they need to be aware of while dealing with it. So today, inshallah, we have Dr. Qambari with us, the principal of Al-Mustafa Open University. I would like to welcome him to the program. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much. This is my pleasure to be in this program with you.
Thank you very much. So inshallah, before we start with the discussion, my brother is going to let you know about the ways you can get in touch with us and let us know about how we can make the program a better program, a program that you can relate to a lot more, inshallah.
Thank you very much, Brother Mahdi. Dear viewers, thanks for staying with us. Of course, the purpose of this program is to open up your minds to new ideas and concepts for better ways of living. There are different ways that you can contact us. The easiest way, you can go on Facebook and Twitter. You can post your comments and raise your questions, and our experts are here to provide you with answers. If you like to watch our videos, you can go on YouTube, watch our videos, and give your comments. Of course, your comments and opinions can help us to have better programs in the future. You can also get in touch with us via phone. Our phone lines are subtitled during the program. You can call us and join us in this program. Of course, this program is yours. Stay with us. Now let's go to Brother Mahdi and start today's discussion. Brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much. So, Dr. Qambari, although we'll be having a guest joining us shortly, inshallah, but to start out with the discussion, the last three episodes we've been talking about the cyberspace. No. We talked about the functions and how it can help us and how we can propagate our thoughts and our ideas. No. On the internet. But now we're getting down to the damages that we need to take into consideration while we're dealing with the internet. Let's start out with the issue of chastity. And how? First of all, does that even apply to the cyberspace? Because we're no longer talking about the real world. Does that apply there? And if it does, how does it apply there?
Yeah. Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in innahu khayrun nasirun wa ma'in. Generally, what is existing in the real world, what exists there in daily life that we're experiencing, some of them or all of them, can be found in the internet and cyberspace, but in a new form and in the form of, you know, data, informations, and films.
Yes.
I don't know, whatever can be imagined to be existed in the cyberspace, and among them chastity, among them, you know, communication, among them talking with one another, establishing friendship.
Yes.
And whatever exists in the real world, we can find it in the cyberspace generally. But I want at the beginning to mention one of the issues that is crucial and returns back to the nature of the communicative equipments or instruments that we have. You know, all people, when they want to study internet or cyberspace, they say this is for communication.
Mm-hmm.
It is established and created and innovated for just one purpose, to make easy the process of communication. So through that, we can communicate with the people who are in a very great distance from us. And it makes it easier than the other things and than the other instruments to make communication with the people who are abroad, who are living in a far places, for example. But I want to say this communication itself creates new problems, and the problem is this communication, this connection. We connect to internet, but disconnect from the other worlds and the real world. We find some people who are in the internet, but we are disconnecting from the people who are, you know, closer to us, from the people who are in the internet,
yes.
Like our relatives, like our family members, like our spouses, like our neighbors, and the other people who are our brothers and sisters in faith or in creation,
yes,
according to Islamic understanding. So I think the problem that we're suffering from today is the addiction to the internet. The people, the more you connect to internet and use internet, the more you detach from the real world.
Yes.
Then imagine that there is a family. Within that family, a father is working outside for one shift or two shift jobs, for
yes.
example. And after returning back to the house, he starts watching TV, for example, or playing with mobile, cell phone, for example. Or there is a wife just waiting for husband to return back to house and to start talking, for example, or
yes.
conversing with him. And there are children are going to school or other places. When they are returning back to the house, instead of establishing good communication, at least verbally,
mm-hmm.
they start connecting to these equipments,
yes.
okay, some like television, mobile, or internet, computers. So what happens is this connection between these members of one family.
Yes. So that's a very good point. I believe your point was that although the internet, you know, the emerge of the internet was, the whole purpose of it was to connect one another,
yeah,
and to get us connected with one another and to feel that we're communicating with others.
Sure.
Although that is the case, but even that brings along its own form of disconnection,
yeah,
from the people around us and from the real world in general.
Yeah, exactly. Then what happens is isolation.
Yes.
So people are going to be isolated from the society, from the family members, from friends, from neighbors, from the other, you know, individuals in the society. Then because the real world is sensible,
mm-hmm.
is experimental, can rely on some people after knowing them.
Yes.
Like relatives, we can rely on them, we can trust them.
Yes.
Like the members of the other, you know, society, other groups,
yes.
the neighbors that we have, we know all of them, we can communicate with one another in a very sound way.
Yes.
Then we are detaching from all of the things.
Yes.
And attaching the world that is unknown, really,
yes.
unknown. We know we don't have enough knowledge about the people
it's
who
not
are,
reliable.
You know, yeah, with us.
Yes.
We are connecting to the people, to the world, that they are not reliable, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? We don't have any good position in the society,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't attach them, we didn't connect them, we didn't present in their community, in their gathering, in the mosque, in, for example, the holy places, I mean, or in other places, we didn't go to visit the ill people in our neighbors, for example, or another relatives, then there is no position.
There's no position for that person
for that person,
is, for example, so connected to the internet and so attached to the internet that has detached from the real world.
So we lose our position in the society and then try to replace the other position for that real position. Mm-hmm. And it is under cyberspace. So this position is not stable, it's not fixed. Is not reliable.
Yes.
Because the internet itself is not so reliable. People are coming, but they have their account, they have their name, usernames, but we're not sure whether these are the real name of them or not. This picture that is the icon of that person is real picture of that or no?
Yes.
We're not sure about all of them. Then what happens is the connection with the other people, and somehow our youth, unfortunately, because they don't have enough knowledge about the nature of the internet, they feel that these people are real people and they can trust them, they can talk about the secrets of their own life to them, then there is no classification of information
for that.
We'll just
hold it right there. The fact that we are getting in touch with people that we don't really know who this person is, what his background is. And we'll come back, inshallah. We're going to take a quick break. I believe a clip is ready for our dear viewers to watch. And when we come back, we'll carry on with the discussion. Please stay with us.
Thoughts become words, words become actions, and actions become habits. This is the Islamic ideology that we have to keep in mind when approaching cyberspace. Just as in real life we are faced with physical bullies, in cyberspace we are faced with moral bullies. These bullies are successful because of the masses of unevolved human beings existing in the world. It is much harder to remain in a morally sound state than it is to follow the temptations of immoral attacks that are aimed at corrupting the mind and the heart. The body has an outward and inner reality, and we have a mind governing over our actions. In the same way, life has a hidden in its counterpart. If these bullies can succeed on trapping our unaware youth in cyberspace, then they have succeeded in corrupting society, because the real life is a reflection of what takes place in the mind, the same way as actions and words are a reflection of the thoughts of a human being. The only way to counteract these attacks is by educating our youth on the subtle roles Shaitan plays on the mind in cyberspace and guide them to develop a deeper awareness of the self and its relationship with Allah. In this way, the mind can connect with the body, the hidden with the apparent, and Allah in the center in the form of the conscience. When the conscience is strengthened, the barrier against the enemies of morality has formed, protecting the individual threads of morality that now must be woven through the larger community, creating an impenetrable moral fabric.
Welcome back, dear viewers. You're watching Open Talk. As I mentioned before, we were going to take the break. Inshallah, we have a dear guest joining us in the program. This dear guest of ours is Dr. Afzal Mir Ali. He's an Islamic scholar, and he's joining us from Beirut. My brother Abbas Munfarid has a question ready for him that he's going to ask from the presence of our dear guest.
Thank you very much. Before asking a question, let me thank you, Sheikh Afzal Mir Ali, for joining us in this program. On one of the websites, that is renaissance.com, I see on authentic sources of distortion, this dark side of the internet is the presence of many sites that intentionally seek to distort the message of Islam. Let me ask this question, Dr. Sheikh Afzal Mir Ali, how should we inform young generation of the destructive effects of the internet in order to know the contents of the websites that are inappropriate? Can you hear me?
ثم الصلاة وأتم التسليم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. I thank you for inviting me for this opportunity of sharing my opinion and the opinion of Islam concerning the cyber world, as you put it, the internet. But to first of all clarify, thank you, but I am not a doctor, I am a sheikh, I'm an Islamic research and Islamic scholar. To start off with, first of all, I would just like to mention a preamble before answering this question. Of course, Islam is a wise legislation, a code of legislation, which has two kinds of tashri'a, or legislations that we can mention. The first one is al-anwan al-awwali that we can mention, which is the first title. Let's say, for example, as-salat, or prayers are wajib. For example, the five prayers are wajib. There is something called al-anwan al-thanawi. Al-anwan al-thanawi, for example, I give a general code that everything that harms a person, if that harm is such that that intellectuals, that people with reason stay away from that kind of harm, then this kind of harm is considered to be haram. Therefore, whatever harms a person to such a degree is considered as haram for a person to inflict upon himself or for another person to do to that person. Okay, so this is called anwan al-thani. Of course, the internet was not present at that time of Tashri'a and the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. So we have other things, other secondary titles to which we should refer in order to know what the hukum of the internet is. Of course, the internet is like a cup of water, a cup. In a cup, a person can pour water and drink and quench their thirst. Or on the other hand, they can put haram material like wine, etc., and drink it. And that would be haram. The internet itself is like a cup. So its hukum, its fatwa, depends on what it is used for and how a person uses it. Now, of course, let's start to speak positively. The internet has many benefits. Some of them, for example, we can consider that a person to be calling to call to Islam many websites that are for tabligh purposes, for example, and other websites to defend shubahat or doubts that are considered against, that are made against Islam. We have to fight bid'ah, we have to fight to spread Islam, Islamic knowledge, Islamic morals. On the other hand, it can be used in order for us to gain knowledge concerning the recent scientific discoveries in order to remain advanced, etc., to keep up with the progress of the different scientific discoveries. In addition to making use of it in scientific research, to know the latest statistics, for example, considering different things, etc., and reports, to call and keep contact with ulama, with our maraja, for example, in order to present istifta'at, questions considering fatawas, etc., masail, and of course to watch their lectures, etc. Of course, there are many, many positive things. Now, if on the other hand,
can you hear me? Of course, the internet itself is a questionable technology among Muslims. How should we try to improve the content of the Islamic websites? Can you somehow elaborate on it?
Of course, the context of the Islamic websites. Yes, I can hear you. With regards to Islamic websites, of course, one of the things that is to be seen, the internet may have many purposes. One of these purposes may be, for example, to entertain oneself, to just relax oneself a little bit, okay, take a little bit of time to relax themselves by watching or reading things that they may find useful to recreate, let's say, to relax. We have sometimes for fun, for example, playing games. Islamic websites, of course, they normally come in the context of providing knowledge or, for example, providing information. Some of the information may also be very very useful and at the same time very delicious. For example, looking and researching into the latest scientific discoveries related to the histories of our prophets, for example, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Yusuf, etc. Of course, the Islamic websites, according to my opinion, I can't say just one answer. This has to be detailed. First of all, there are those Islamic websites that could be created to provide alternatives to destructive moral games, okay? And of course, this is not the first thing to start with. The most important thing to start with is, first of all, to provide knowledge. There should be scientific criteria into how different websites should be made. One of the criteria is, for example, when researching, one needs to go to the primary source. We can create, and I call all the thinkers of the Muslims from all the different sects, and especially to the leadership in Iran, that there is a need to create one website which can be...
...with you after a short break to talk about it more. Dear viewers, stay with us.
Come up with ways to combat it. The most, I think, important part is the use of cyberspace. We didn't win the Cold War by a tank battle in Germany, the plains of Germany with the Soviet Union. We won because we won the battle, the ideological battle of ideas. And we're using cyberspace like with the effectiveness that they are, frankly. And
tell me how we should use it.
We're going to have to come up with ways to replicate only with modern technology the way we did with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, all of those ways we were able to provide hope and optimism to the people who were behind the Iron Curtain. We have got to describe to them why our values are superior, why theirs is evil, and why this is a titanic struggle and one that they can't join on the side of evil.
Welcome back, dear viewers. We were carrying on with our discussion with both our guests, our dear guests here, Dr. Ghambari in Qom, and also our other guest, Sheikh Mir Ali from Beirut, inshallah. We'll stay in touch with both of them, inshallah. The next question that I was going to ask from the presence of Dr. Ghambari in this regard, pertaining to this issue of being detached from the real world and the results of that, and the ramifications of this issue. What comes about when we do that, and what are the many things that might that we might be dealing with?
Yeah, the consequences of detachment from the real world and taking refuge of the cyberspace, mm-hmm. or going to under the shelter that is called cyberspace, I think that the first thing is depression. So after addiction to the internet, yes. after going and spending many times over there, so we become addicted to the internet.
Yes,
we feel that without internet cannot continue living or keep yes. going on life. So all the time we want to seek the opportunity to find it and spend that opportunity on the internet.
Yes.
So it causes depression.
Mm-hmm.
Why depression? Because whatever we want, we can achieve in the cyberspace, mm-hmm. and when we return back to the real world, we find that we fail
okay.
of achieving some real things,
yes.
because there is nothing is under control in the real world.
Yes.
But this is totally, you know, vice versa in cyberspace.
Yes.
So everything is under your control.
Yes.
You can type, chat, and have some relationship and send, receive whatever you want and
yes.
watch some TVs that you wish. So in the real world, there is something else.
Yes.
Control is not under your hand, your supervision.
Yes.
So depression happens because of detachment from real world, because of having no relationship with yes. the real world, with your relatives. So after this depression, you want to heal this
yes.
problem that you have.
Okay.
And you find some people to have some conversation with them.
Yes.
But in the real world, there is no such a thing because you detach completely, absolutely from them. And you find some people over there, some friends.
Yes.
But these friends are not soul friend of you.
Mm-hmm.
They are false friends. They are coming to take benefit of you, yes. some information you're sending. One thing I want to say that is very beneficial in training process of our children and yes. youth have to deal with the internet is that we have to be very careful, our youth to be careful. Whatever they're sending should be more or less than whatever we're receiving. Mm-hmm. So we have to receive more than we send the mm-hmm. data and information. It helps us to be not so in a position that we're going to be damaged by that mm-hmm. position. So there are some information are classified okay. according to the very formal, you know, data and information. So we have to classify them and keep them secrets for yes. ourselves.
Yes.
Such as, I don't know, date of birth, for example, our gender sometimes, yes. Our family information, such as our brothers and sisters that we have.
Pictures and movies of our family.
And pictures and movies, yes. yeah. But unfortunately, some people consider their web pages or I don't know, their faces in Facebook or something yeah. like that, they're considered as private realm of them,
yes.
and they put their own, you know,
their information,
memories, informations.
That brings me to another point that you mentioned, yeah. the point of going back to that issue of depression, how we, or people who are using the internet and get addicted to the internet, are what they find in the real world doesn't really match
yeah.
what they're looking for,
yeah.
because the cyberspace can always match it.
Yes.
Why? Because the cyberspace isn't even real. It's a virtual world. Okay. Yeah. That actually brings me to this very important topic of, I know we're going off topic a little bit, but inappropriate movies. Okay. Mm. First of all, what does Islam say about this? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes what people think is, well, I'm just watching a movie. I'm not doing anyone any harm. Yeah. I'm not causing any issue within the society because it's a cyberspace. It doesn't even exist. Yeah. So, does Islam forbid that, number one? And then I have another question that I'm going to ask.
Yeah, of course, Islam has say in this regard, you know, whatever we're seeing and hearing and doing have their own, you know, verdicts according yes. to Islamic jurisprudence. Okay. So we're not allowed to see whatever we wish. Okay. We're not allowed to hear whatever we wish. Mm-hmm. So there is criterion here, mm-hmm. and we have to follow that criterion. Whatever is harming our faith mm-hmm. and that is hurting somehow and damaging, so we have to be very mm-hmm. careful about that and okay. stay away from the yes. things such as films that mm-hmm. are not morally and ethically allowed
yes.
and Islamically allowed. This is something haram,
yes.
so we have to stay away from that.
So these inappropriate content,
yeah.
that one might find. First of all, I mean, obviously, it's. I believe you made the ruling very clear that
yeah.
it is by according to all the
ulama,
opinion of
yeah.
all of the ulama,
yeah.
all Islamic scholars, it is forbidden.
Yeah.
But let me just allude to this point: that what is the effect of that if one is already into that?
Yeah.
What is the effect that can have on his life? Because once again, the way some people look at it is, yeah. well, it's just watching a movie, okay? What is the yeah. effect that can have on them?
Yeah, I have to say, psychologically, it affects our heart, our mind.
Yes.
This is not, you know, neutral things to say, okay, there is no difference to watch it or to not to watch it.
Yes.
This is the same. No, the result is different. So it affects our soul, our mind, thinking. You're watching one image that is immoral image,
yes.
okay? Let put it this way, or the film that is porno film,
yes.
or pornography. So it remains in your mind for many, many times. Somehow we can say some pictures remains in our mind forever.
Yes.
No one can remove it from our mind. So in different occasions, it comes to our mind.
Okay.
Even when we are going to engage in some secret actions like prayer, for example,
yes.
within the prayer, in the middle of the prayer, something come to our mind,
yes.
then we cannot get rid of that, you know,
yes.
from our mind.
Yes.
And it affects in our daily life, in our family life, and according to our hadith, let's say in very detailed point,
yes.
In a relationship between two spouses,
yes.
that are, you know, legally, they are two spouses, if a
one of the parties in this sexual, you know, intercourse or something like that, if one of the parties thinks in a way that some pornography, you know, acts, for example, the actor or the actress of that film, for example, acted in a way, in a special way, and he is always thinking about the partner that the same partner had, for example. This action, according to some jurists, is, you know, not legal action that we are going to do it with our real spouse.
Yes.
Because our thinking is in another way.
Yes.
Then this is not lawful.
Yes.
We have to, you know, think about only our own partner, real partner, that is legal.
Yes. Yeah. I believe like one of the biggest issues that people are dealing with is that once you enter that realm, and because, like I said, the cyberspace can match anything you want, because it's not real, there's no limits, what you find is that when you come back to the real world, you're never really satisfied with the real world.
Yeah.
So it's like quicksand. The more you go into it, the more you have to go into it once again. So I believe that's one of the biggest issues. I was talking to one of my best friends, and he was mentioning that in our communities, unfortunately, this issue is the issues that come about it when we're talking about relationships, wife and husband.
Yeah.
These are serious issues that are coming up. But we'll continue, inshallah, with this important topic. I believe our dear friend is on the line, and my friend is going to ask a question.
Thank you very much. Dear viewers, here on one of the websites, that is pacificu.edu, I see some points related to our today's topic. Regarding the internet, like TV, newspaper, radio, books, videos, and other methods of acquiring knowledge is a mean, not a goal in itself. Can we say that TV is bad? A TV is an instrument. It is what people make out of them that make these tools good or bad. If people spend time on them to learn about religion, to discuss educational topics, to do research, then the way the internet is being used is totally acceptable and even is encouraged. Of course, as you know, we have a guest through SNG, Sheikh Mir Afzal. Let me ask this question. One of our viewers has asked this question. If we want reliable and good information from the internet, then we should look for sites operated by which organizations?
Before answering this question, let me just finish the two points that I was mentioning before. Firstly, I was talking about the fact that in order to provide some, when Islam comes and forbids something, it at the same time provides alternatives. It forbidded zina, but at the same time it legislated marriage, because there is this need, this urge in a human being. Now, with this regard, what is required from Islamic organizations in general, what kind of websites to provide? One of them is these kind of websites, those websites of primary source. Primary source, for example, an Islamipedia kind of website, for example, that has articles, that has books, PDF forms that can be downloadable, etc., in different languages. We need, for example, websites, and I will come to answer a question in just a second, in just a minute. Second kind of websites, for example, we can, an Islam YouTube, for example. IslamTube, which has different kinds of videos that are, first of all, according to the Islamic standards, but at the same time, that also have different Islamic videos that have an Islamic theme. For example, videos concerning our prophets or those discoveries that have happened, concerning, for example, the Ark of Nabi Nuh, etc. Now, continuing on, how can we inform our children to stay away from these kinds of websites? We have to try and create in them a self immunity. An internal immunity from them. And it's not that we have to all the time observe what they are doing, what they are not. We have to give them this feeling that they have to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal all the time is watching over us, he's observing what we do. He knows every small and big thing that we're doing. And as a result, trusting them at the same time to let them and letting and permitting them to use the internet in the house, but at the same time creating this kind of internal immunity in them will lead to the proper road. To the proper path. Considering the what kind of organizations in general we have to see, there are some organizations, of course I can't give you a detailed answer with regards to different names because it's a very huge topic, but it depends on what that person wants in the internet. If that person wants information, there are, for example, normal information, normal common knowledge information. There are many websites. We have Britannica, etc., Wikipedia, to a certain extent, can also be reliable. Looking at other websites and going to search engines, it's asking the questions that we want. If we want Islamic knowledge, if we want the fatwa, we have the offices of the maraja that have websites, that have web pages, and we can put the istifta on that, for example. If we want information, for example, now going on, if we want games. Now, of course, this is somewhat problematic because some games are okay, and those which are not okay, we put them aside. Those which are okay may reach to a level of addiction. We can create also Islamic games. I mean, in the end, do we have a lack of software engineers? No, we don't. A small example is that in 2006, after the 2006 war, there was a game made that mocked the scenario of the 2006 war here in Lebanon, for example. So these kind of games can also be uploaded on an Islamic website for these kind of entertainment, relaxation, for example. What regards to other kinds of information, for example, if they go to the English language, there is the Ahlul Bayt Foundations, alislam.org, that has very, very unprecedented efforts in order to try and convert a lot of our Islamic heritage, which is both in Arabic and in Persian, to English. This is a good place to look for information. In the end, it depends on what that person is looking for. But at the same time, what is required with regards to parents is to use the different kinds of tools, electronic and software tools, in order to prevent these kind of inappropriate websites from ever opening on their computers by using, for example, nanny filters, nanny programs.
Sorry for my interruption.
We have, for example, at the same time, firewalls, etc. Of course.
Can you give some pieces of advice to parents in order to control their children in the cyberspace of virtual world of cyberspace?
Of course. First of all, one of the first things that we need to teach the child is that the internet is not something that we have to drown in. Just like the brother was mentioning that with regards to the other topic of the inappropriate websites and inappropriate videos, that the internet itself is kind of like a quicksand kind of world, that if we step in with one foot, that we will slowly drown into it and be addicted to it. The internet should be used as a means and not as as a tool and not as a goal in itself. At the same time, we have to teach them and we have to make a kind of life for them that they only use the internet for that which they need. Sometimes if they want it for homework, etc., but at the same time, a certain amount of time should be allowed them to use the internet every day for entertainment purposes. But thereafter, we have to teach them to live in the real world. Like the Sheikh, Samah the Sheikh was mentioning, that they start to have a kind of identity problem. And to add on what the Sheikh was saying, that after they have this identity problem, they start to become frustrated, because in the internet world, they can achieve a lot. They don't have to give their information to many people. They can use, for example, other names. But in the outside world, when they come to try and achieve something, they see they don't have that much skills. They have not worked on themselves. We have to teach them to work on themselves. Again, I mentioned we have to learn to teach them self-immunity, internal immunity from this inappropriate material. Now, at the same time, we have to teach them that, for example, Facebook, like Samah the Sheikh again was mentioning, to give our personal information, come on, we are Muslims right now and we are living in such a situation, especially in the Middle East, that our enemies are looking for the smallest of details in order to pick them together and gain all the information that they can about ourselves. What is this that we see our Muslim brothers and sisters at the same time? For example, this Muslim brother opening his own account on Facebook and putting all information, putting his pictures, etc. And also at the same time, putting pictures of him and another woman, for example, and a suffer, etc.
Sheikh Afzal, I think we have a guest through Skype. Let me thank you, dear guest, for joining us in this program. Let me ask you this question. Of course, some websites have some destructive and deleterious effects. How should Muslims be aware in the virtual world of cyberspace in order to use the internet in the most useful moral way? Can you somehow elaborate on it?
I think the internet in general has many good points regarding it, and also but some bad points as well. If the internet is correctly used, I think it's a good tool for children to learn more about Islam, and also for parents to learn more about Islamic matters in general as well. However, young children, especially when they're quite young, they don't know how correctly to use the internet, especially with regards to how to use it in an Islamic environment. I think young children, their internet access should be filtered. Companies provide a basic filtering package nowadays. Also, there are other personal filtering devices which the parents can use to filter the internet for their children. I think if the children are correctly monitored and the computer with internet access is provided in a room with access to everyone, then I think the children can use the internet correctly and within the Islamic framework. I think, however, when the children become older, the parents must justify to the children as to why their internet, remove the filtering later on, and justify the children and tell them why the internet should be used within an Islamic framework. I think when children are correctly justified and the reasons are behind the internet access use is told to them, I think the children then will use the technology to the best of their ability. However, parents also should be a good role model and a good example to children. I think the parents themselves, if they don't know what internet access usage is allowed within the Islamic framework, they should ask religious leaders to help them as to what's actually allowed within Islam and what's not allowed within Islam. I think if the parents are a good example to their children, then the children will learn from them, and all in all, the internet can then be used correctly within the Islamic framework for both the parents and the children in general.
Dear guests, let's go to Brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much. I believe we have just about 5-6 minutes left for our time. And there's one very important question that I was going to ask, and this is a commonly mistaken, I believe, thought that unfortunately a lot of Muslims have. And that is, well, if someone's not married and they're watching this inappropriate content, yes, it's not permissible, there's a problem with it, and yes, it has those effects. But if one is married and this is being done with the content of their spouse, or it's being both of them are watching these movies, then in that case it's okay because it's a relationship with your spouse. And is that correct? Is that the ruling where you can sit down and watch these movies along with your spouse or not?
Well, I think this is one of the misunderstandings from the followers of Islam, and we have to correct it. There is no difference between the person who is bachelor and the married one to watch films that are not morally good or Islamically allowed.
Yes.
So whatever is haram for all people.
Yes.
And there is no difference. And whatever is halal also forever for all Muslims.
Yes.
So there is no difference again in that case. So, you know, this relationship should be sound, should be proper. Any kind of relationship, especially between two spouses, between husband and wife, man and woman, in the framework of Sharia, in the framework of Islam. So even when this happens, I mean sexual intercourse happens, so while that process, two spouses start speaking, I mean, so this is also not good. Even it is mentioned that it's better not to speak. It's better even not to look at some parts. Even in that case, that's not haram looking, but it is recommended not to look because it affects our mind. It affects the soul, the heart. And if it is not allowed, not recommended to look at some, you know, secret parts within that action happening. So how is it possible to say, okay, it's allowed to imagine what happened to that film, to that actor and actress. They are playing a role in that film. This is not real. We have to understand that what happens in that film, this is not real pleasure.
Yes.
This is just film. This is just showing and inviting people to that action that is not, you know, personally and mentally pleased.
Yes.
This is not pleased action.
Thank you very much. So to make it very clear before, inshallah, we end the program, to watch these movies is not permissible, even if the two spouses are content with the other spouse.
Yeah.
It's a matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not being content with it, and not being happy with it, not the other spouse being happy with it or not. We didn't have too much time to talk about the many effects that it has on one's life, but inshallah, I hope we can leave that for inshallah another opportunity. Thank you very much
for
being with us, Dr. Ghambari. I would also like to thank our dear guest from Beirut, Sheikh Afzal Mirali. Thank you very much for being with us. It was a pleasure to have you in this program. So inshallah, we'll end the program here. And I would also like to thank my dear brother, Abbas Monfed, who helped us out with his questions and also the comments that he was making alongside the questions he was asking from the presence of our guests from Beirut. Please make sure to tune in for the next program, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, we'll try to make the program more of a program that you can relate to, and inshallah, discuss the questions that you and I are dealing with on a daily basis as Muslims. Till another program, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.